Hello and welcome to Queensland Freemason podcast number 24. My name's Luke Eland and I'm here today with Graham. Would you like to introduce yourself, Graham?
Thanks, Luke. Yes, I'm Graham Schultz. I'm the Deputy Grand Secretary of the United Grand Lodge of Queensland out of Brisbane, Australia.
Excellent. Mm. Excellent. And today we're doing a podcast. This is our 24th one. We're doing an interesting one. Again, we've done a couple lately that have been for Masons, by Masons, I guess. So the last one we talked about was the future of Freemasonry. And the second last one was how to basically run a successful lodge. Today we're talking about probably a topic a bit more controversial, and that would be, why do Masons keep talking about the past? I mean, it's nice to have reflected glory and all that, Graham, but what do you think is the reason behind why so many of our members share the same story, not just with us, but with members of the public, time and time again?
Well, I think it's probably because it's what we know, and it's what we are comfortable with talking about, and we have got a long and illustrious past. For example, in Queensland, the first lodge in Queensland was formed on the 13th of July, 1859, which means that we were around, Masons were around formally before Queensland was even a colony. So I guess we have a proud history, and I think it's good to talk about that. But yeah, what's sort of my question to you then is, you know, what sort of legacy are we leaving for the next generations of Freemasons?
Yeah, that's true. I think a good example is this, is when I go to the library, the number of books being produced on Masonry now is, there's still quite a few of them, but compared to the Wodge that's been prepared in the last 100 years, it's almost minuscule by comparison. And I think the reason why Masons keep talking about the past, they keep reading old books about the past, they keep bringing up the past. And what about Masonry today? Like, we talk about some of the people in previous podcasts who have been famous amongst Masons, and in 30, 40 years' time, who are going to be the Masons that people remember from this time period?
Yeah, that's a very good point, because every person has a story, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone has a story of their own, and who knows, you know, and how do you define fame and those sorts of contexts?
It's a tricky question.
Well, but, you know, but I think our society has been conditioned. Well, my generation, and I'm 58 years old, my generation has been conditioned to think of, you know, famous people, and, you know, we go by their sayings, you know, of what they said.
The cult,
you know,
of celebrity.
Yeah.
We do have that within Masonry, like, I would have thought that most Masons could name 3 or 4 famous Masons in their own mind, but from our perspective, it's relevant that we talk about what we're doing now, and less relevant to our members of the public about what we did in the past, because they want to find out about joining an organisation and what is it that we're doing now. It's great that they can read the works of the great Masons in the past, but it's even better if they can meet great Masons in the meeting, is my opinion.
And I think it's, you know, there's a real cult of celebrity around in society now.
Oh, absolutely.
And anyone can be famous.
Yeah.
Anyone can have a profile online and, you know, Google your own name and see how famous you actually are. You know, you couldn't do that 30 years
ago,
you know.
No, you can't. And you've got clout.com for how popular you are on social media and things like that. But I do wonder
How does that work?
It goes around and measures your capacity to influence others.
What
so clout.com with a K.
Okay.
I don't know if I like it or not, because I'm not as influential as perhaps I'd like to be or I imagine myself to be.
But
clout.com is an interesting tool for that. But with Masonry, I find that I'm more excited about the future. It's great that I can learn about all these things from the past. But last podcast we did was exactly on that topic, and we talked about things that we think might present issues for the Masons in future. Like, a lot of these stories that we hear are war stories, are famous stories. Occasionally we hear stories that hadn't been told before, and I remember, and that's appropriate. I have a member, or had a member of my lodge, that was a prisoner in a World War II prison camp, and he shared with us a story about a piece of history that nobody had ever heard before. Now, I'm welcoming listening to that, but if I had to hear it more than once or twice, I kind of then be wondering, thank you for sharing that story with me. And that's the problem that a lot of Masons have, is that they want to talk about the festive board they attended in June 1974 and what a great occasion it was. The governor attended, and there was lots of events happening around that festive board. That's terrific. That was 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, nearly. It's really not as relevant. If you want to share historical artifacts that people don't know about you or don't know about what has happened in your life, then that's great, but it's not necessary for you to keep reflecting and reminiscing about how you left the lodge room in such a state. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. You're all dancing on the tables.
By the light of the full moon and all that sort of stuff.
You can hear me exhaling heavily there, Graham. There's a reason for that. I have heard too many of those stories. So please, people in my lodge and in other lodges, stop talking about the same things over and over again.
And I think, if you can talk about different things, it's good. Tell more stories. It's about storytelling, isn't it?
Yeah, really? The member of my lodge, Jim, really did share a significant historical war story that hadn't been told before. And I only hope that he went on then to tell people in the RSL about it so they could document what he was telling us. And I'm not free to share it with you here, but all I can say, it was a very interesting story. And things like that are historical, and they are given in a context that's meaningful, but it's not so meaningful for people to keep banging on about that 1974 festive board they all attended and can't forget because the building burnt down or they were dancing on top of the tables or whatever the story was. It's not really relevant.
And I think
younger members don't want to hear it.
No, I think the early part of the last century, for example, was riven by war,
absolutely.
By a couple of terrible wars and to a lesser extent, Vietnam in the 60s and that sort of stuff, and great stories grow out of
those. Do you know what? I haven't heard a Vietnam veteran story yet, Grant.
We should hear more.
I think so.
We've got a few Vietnam vets in our fraternity, and that would be good, I think.
And this just brings up a point. Like, I've heard more about the Second World War than I care to remember, and I'm not being mean, and I'm not sort of diminishing the sort of...
Of course not.
The stories that people have, but there's a time and a place for those stories, and I think people have got to understand that when you're talking about Freemasonry, particularly to new people, that's not the time nor the place. So.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, you're talking about wartime, and we've got that apron out on display here in Grand Lodge. From New Guinea in the Second World War, where the aprons, the tassels on the apron are made not from silver but from bully beef tins, cut up bully beef tins, So Freemasonry in war and Freemasonry in peacetime and Freemasonry in different countries and Freemasonry all around the world is a big topic, isn't it? And there's so much There's so much that you can choose from.
And I guess the thing you have to remember is just because you found something particularly interesting doesn't mean other people will. I certainly find various aspects of the more esoteric side of Freemasonry quite interesting, but to be quite honest, 80% of my lodge is not particularly interested in me talking about them. So I find the time and the place to talk to those people who are interested in a format and an area that's probably more appropriate to talk about. So if you're into doing research, particularly about Freemasonry, then go and do research in the library. Go and sit down with your friends, have a coffee with them or a beer and talk about these things.
Interesting.
You don't need to share that with everybody in the lodge unless you've got a lodge that's particularly based around that sort of a theme and it's something you've always done. So my suggestion to Masons, particularly the older Masons, is talk about what we're doing now, because last year, for example, we raised $1 million in our charity appeal. That's worth talking about. And then the consequences and the flow-on effects of what we did with that money is also worth talking about.
Yeah.
Much more so relevant than what happened on the 1974 festive board.
Yeah,
you might notice I mentioned that three times. That's for a reason, because I'm annoyed with people telling me the same story for three times. So get the message if you're listening to this and you do that.
Yeah, and I think, there's 35 really good stories out of the flood and cyclone appeal, because that's the number of recipients who received funding as a result of that. And I think it's just great what we were able to achieve, and with fundraising in our own state and then the fundraising from all the other jurisdictions in Australia who sent us a significant amount of money, and £20,000 from UGLE. And all that money came in, $1 million came in, and $1 million went out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Graham, you said the UGLE there. For people that are not a fate with the word ugly, what does that mean?
It's the United Grand Lodge of England.
Ah, yes.
Of course, yes.
And it's important that we kind of demystify too some of these words that we use. Graham and I throw them about as if they're everyday thing, because we talk about them a lot. But for those people that don't know, United Grand Lodge of England, along with a lot of other United Grand Lodges, contributed to us. It'd be great to go out there and tell other people about that. And that's the sort of stories that I would like to share with people, and I do. So. Yeah. I've been focusing my efforts on talking about what it is we're doing now and into the future. I mean, if we can do 24 podcasts about contemporary topics when it comes to Freemasonry, surely these members can find something interesting.
And I think it's great that, the growth that we're experiencing at the moment. And
do you want to talk about that, Graham?
Yeah, we should do it. We should do a podcast on the growth that we've experienced, say, in the last financial year, and how many men are joining Freemasonry, and the average age of those joining is 38, and how the demographic is changing, and how our strategies are now starting to work to attract more Freemasons into the craft, which is something that
perhaps in a minute we could stop and do a podcast on that. look, one other thing I want to talk about, because I think this kind of is a wrap-up for what we're doing, is basically, I don't want to sound mean, but please talk about things that we're doing now and into the future, and save your history for a lecture in your lodge or in a time and in a format that's appropriate, because this is the kind of organisation that we are now, and the people that keep reflecting on our past glory is great, that's good, and all well-meaning and all sorts of things like that, but it's now time to move on with what we're doing and talk about what we've done recently, I think.
Thanks, Luke.
Oh, one thing I should be doing too is I'm no longer going to say you should stay on the level, because I realise I'm just the repeater and I've been copying the Whence Came You podcast and I didn't even realise that. So I perhaps need to come up with a new slogan.
We need to do that. We need to think of a new slogan.
I know. I didn't even know that. See, I'm repeating somebody else's old stories. So until next month...
we'll meet on the level and part on the square.
That's it. We'll meet on the level and part on the square. So that's basically saying to us, we're going to meet as friends and we're going to leave as friends. So thank you very much, and until next month, we'll see you then.